Cascadia is part of the Pacific Ring of Fire, home to the world's most active volcanoes and quakes. Since 2004, three major regions of the Pacific Ring of Fire have been hit by quakes greater than magnitude 8. A fourth region, the Cascadia Subduction Zone, runs more than 600 miles along the northwest coast. The source of all this danger lying underwater of the Pacific Northwest coast is a huge gash in the Earth's crust, a subduction zone. The Earth's crust is made up of huge plates of rock that are constantly in motion. Where two of these giant plates meet head to head, one of them can get pushed down under the other. It's here where strain is building up as the Juan de Fuca plate struggles to push beneath the North American plate. When it releases, it will trigger a region-wide earthquake that will shake for up to 5 minutes, followed by a tsunami that will wreak havoc along the entire northwest coast.
We're coming in the four horsemen of the apocalypse on a full gallop. We're watching war. We're watching the mega drought that's coming. We're watching the biggest earthquakes preparing to happen, not just in the U.S., but especially in the U.S. And Jesus said there's going to be great earthquakes in diverse places. And I'm going to say this, perverse places are going to get tagged extra hard.
But even top seismologists, as you know, are saying California is like 12 years overdue for a megaquake.
Well, yeah, and actually, Alex, they have a gag order. I mean, there are guys in the USGS that can't even say, hey, we're gagged. But the true nature of it, you have to go to foreign seismic networks and people who are geologists and volcanologists to find out what's really going on. So what I'm talking about is a simultaneous eruption of volcanoes, the mega quakes, the one in Cascadia. I did a movie on that, and it's really good. By the way, those were done 7 years ago.
Since the last super eruption, giant eruption, we've had about 60 to 70 volcano eruptions, like the size of Mount St. Helens.
Scientists recently had predicted that there is only a 22% probability of a 6.7 or larger magnitude quake hitting the San Francisco or Los Angeles areas by 2043. But on the evening of July 5th, 2019, a magnitude 7.1 quake hit near the city of Ridgecrest, California. It was a disturbing reminder that the USA faces a catastrophic major earthquake sometime in the near future. Forget the Yellowstone supervolcano and California earthquakes. Just north of the famous San Andreas Fault lies a tectonic time bomb, the Cascadia Juan de Fuca Subduction Zone. This vast region threatens violent megathrust earthquakes, catastrophic tsunamis, and contains a potent collection of volcanoes known as the Cascade Range. There is no force on Earth quite like a subduction zone. Slips along these faults, found where plates of dense ocean crust dive beneath continents, cause the world's most destructive earthquakes and tsunamis. A giant megathrust earthquake just like the one that hit Japan in March of 2011, threatens America's Pacific Northwest. A huge area from Northern California all the way to Canada is at risk, including major cities like Seattle and Portland.
Look, we're coming into the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We're watching all of the Luciferian, the global elite, the child-sacrificing, human flesh-eating cannibal cabal making their final play for the extinction of humanity.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today. Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show Sunday edition. I'm your host, Rex Jones. Today, we got massive news for you. Got a huge guest, Matt Murphy, intelligence expert, former Green Beret, all of that. Joining me to cover, really, the news of our times today, the duel of the fates, as it is. Iran has laid out new demands, and Israel has announced that, independent of us, independent of the U.S., they are going to strike again. Now, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of February 28th, where they got us involved as well, because it's never just that. We're going to get into all of that and so much more. I've got domestic issues as well. I've got AOC basically saying she's ready to run, she's ready to go. What else did you expect? I told you, we've all been telling you it's going to be a massive field on both sides. That's what we got coming up for you today. But I want to tell you right now, if you're watching this, share live feed, live link. It's very important for people to know what you know. Share our reports, share our videos, share our clips, share everything, because you are the info war. It does not function without you. It does not work without you. And there are people all over, left, right, and center, who want to sell you a bill of goods, want to tell you this war is all right, want to tell you the situation in the country is all right, or that it's too bad and their evil solution is going to work. We don't agree with that here on the network. So I want to go ahead and get into Iran's demands, and I want to remind you, initially, the strait was open, all right? Initially, the Strait of Hormuz before the war was completely and totally open. Now, what happened on February 28th? What happened? Did we go over there and say, hey, we want to negotiate more with you, we want to figure things out more with you? And they were like, oh, no, we're the mean, evil Iranians. We're so sick and demented, we're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. No, that's not what happened. We killed the Ayatollah and we killed everybody that we were currently negotiating with. We killed them in the middle of negotiations. That's what happened. That's what resulted in the Strait being closed. And that's what's led us to be in the position that we're in today. Now, you take a look at that, and you say, that's bad enough. What about the MOU? Well, you remember Trump made a big deal about the MOU. Oh, it's going to be so incredible. We're going to end the war because we only got 4 weeks left of oil. We're far past the 4 weeks now, so I guess he was wrong about that. We had a little bit left. It's all going to be good, right? We tore up that document again. So Iran now says, hold your horses here. Hold on a minute. Trump is saying that, you know, we can't really attack, and Trump's really signaling that. I'm going to get into Brad Cooper and so much other news on that topic later on in the show. But Iran has a new set of demands. I'm going to go ahead and read you those new set of demands. Breaking: Iran has laid out 9 conditions for reopening the Strait of Hormuz, including $300 billion in compensation, a ban on U.S. and Israeli vessels, and up to 7% transit fees. Okay, initially, it was 1%. How's that working out? You see why we needed to declare victory and go home? You see how us being there has made it worse and worse and worse and worse? Declaring the waterway will not open until the U.S. corrects its behavior. They're spanking us like we're little kids, because we are. We are. It was a childish, juvenile decision to start this war. The Supreme National Security Council of Iran stated that it will never compromise, whether in war or in negotiations, and that the U.S. must meet all conditions before the strait opens. The conditions include, this is the list right here. This is the list. Number one, an end to U.S. threats and insults. So no more mean tweets for Donald. He's not going to be allowed to do that. Number two, a permanent end to U.S. wars against Iran and its allies in Lebanon and Palestine. Yemen and Iraq are also on the list, but that's less of a contentious issue. The ongoing genocide in both Palestine and Lebanon, more of an ethnic cleansing in Lebanon, but also a genocide. They've destroyed over 50,000 homes. You look at Gaza before and after, it's literally gone. They flattened it. They erased it. They're proud of it. Ben-Gavir calls for burning all of Lebanon. For every one of our mothers that weep, 1,000 of their mothers will weep. That's called collective punishment, and it's a war crime. So the Iranians are saying that's unacceptable. Number three, lifting the naval blockade and withdrawing U.S. forces. I'm curious what this means. Does this mean from the region? Does this mean from around Iran? I would have to think that it would mean from the region now, wouldn't it? Number four, $300 billion in compensation for war damages. Number five, lifting of all sanctions. This is impossible. All right, this is impossible. The U.S. can lift all sanctions that it has, or it can issue waivers to lift those sanctions. But the U.N. sanctions that the U.S. and other nations instituted, that's going to be a long, hard fight. So if Iran is going for all this right now, they're really going for broke. Iran's right to charge up to 7% on cargo. Remember, it was initially 1%. And now we are where we are. And number eight, a ban on U.S. and Israeli vessels banned from the strait forever. How'd that work out? Oh, it's just a tiny little bottle of water or body of water. That's what Scott Bessent says now. It used to be the most critical waterway in the whole world. That's because we know we're not going to be able to use it in the future. Number nine, a 20% violation toll on ships if conditions are breached. This is not a negotiation. This is from Hormuz Report. It's a surrender document. This is true. Iran is not asking for concessions. It is demanding U.S. capitulation on every front, money, military withdrawal, sanctions, and control over the strait. The $300 billion figure is not a starting point. It's the price of doing business. So is Trump forced to accept this? Will Trump swallow his pride and somehow make it work? Will he be able to do that? I don't think he'll be able to do that because it's not just up to him. Overhead shot, please. This is what we got going on. All right. And look at this right here. We got Netanyahu, and then we got Trump in the cuck chair right there saying yes, daddy, to Netanyahu. Israel is right now telling Washington, if you're going to shake hands with Tehran, we'll handle this ourselves. The IDF plans for a solo Iran strike. The plans are live and ready while the U.S. is quietly shopping for a diplomatic exit. Two allies, completely opposite directions. Israel doesn't need American permission. Oh, that's debatable. And apparently isn't waiting for it. And I'll go ahead and read you here from the Hormuz Report again, breaking that unilateral strike, and we're seeking an exit. U.S. General Dan Kane is looking for an off-ramp and believes air power alone won't defeat Iran. Wow, what would have been nice if you listened to the people from day one saying that. Why is it that all the experts and the generals and the big brain people, why is it that they're all so effing retarded? Seriously, everyone knew this was unwinnable. It's the size of Western Europe. They got 90 million people. 30 million people showed up to the Ayatollah's funeral. You're not going to be able to give them the Second Amendment, like Lindsey Graham says, and it's all going to work out. It's just completely and totally unrealistic. Continuing here, Netanyahu's calculus is political, not strategic. Got that right. Facing October elections coming up, he needs a victory to boost his standing. Striking Iran is his last card. But Iran has already shown it can withstand U.S. strikes and emerge stronger. Israel's independent action would only prove its inability to defeat Iran without American backing. I mean, this last sentence here, Israel's independent action would only prove its inability to defeat Iran without American backing. This is the whole reason why we got involved in the war. I quote you, Marco Rubio, right now. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation, so we had to join in. They can't do it on their own. The whole reason why the American soldiers are over there is because they can't do it on their own. The American soldiers over there are basically Israeli hostages. They are at an extreme liability risk. They have no missile interceptors to be defended with. And the ones that we do have don't even work. And the loss of these soldiers either generates, you know, a nothing burger in the news media cycle because it's not enough of them. But then eventually when it is enough of them, when it's a mass casualty event, then the American people will be told, this is your 9/11. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is what's coming for you next. If you don't obey Netanyahu and obey the Israelis and do what they say and take your sons and daughters to full war. And that's literally undeniable. Why are they over there in the Middle East? What's going on? What's going on in the Gulf countries? Why are they over there in Saudi Arabia? Why are they over there in Jordan? Why are they over there in UAE? Why do we have American soldiers over in the desert at all? It's thousands of miles away from where they live. You're expecting someone to go die in the desert for no reason? Because Netanyahu says that we got to defeat the jihadis or whatever? They funded and set up the jihadis on record. It's all completely hypocritical. It's all total garbage. The number of protesters, I keep hearing this, the number of protesters keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because keep in mind, Iran murdered 30,000, 50,000. Now Trump is saying 80,000 protesters. Okay. Now the Iranian government released the numbers of who they killed and they released the IDs and the names. Everybody was like 3,300. This is an armed insurgency where the U.S., CIA, and Israel, Mossad, were on the ground giving them Starlink weapons and terrorist equipment. It was a regime change war that they failed in January. And that's just a whole other factor. They play that card in January. That fails. They play the killing the Ayatollah card in February. That fails. They play the U.S. military might card. That fails. 39-day war leads to MOU, leads to tit for tat, or as Anthony Aguilar says, murder for murder, which is really what it is. And then now we're at a point where they're going to charge 7% fees on ships going through. We are going to pay them the $300 billion. We are going to leave their neighborhood, and we are going to leave Gaza, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iraq. In 1991, do you think that they were thinking about this during the first Gulf War? Do you think that they thought that we'd ever get in a position like this? We'd be so spread out and so weak, and our position would be so utterly indefensible. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do but declare victory and go home. And they know that, and they don't care, because it's not about victory for us. It's about victory for the Israelis, victory for Netanyahu, victory for him getting to stay in office over and over and over again. Murder, 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 kill, kill, rape, rape, 24/7. That is what happens as a result of my tax money, your tax money going over to these people. They stole nuclear weapons from us and they lie about it. They're merging their military with ours and they lie about it. They're killing Palestinian babies every single day and they're lying about it. How much longer are you going to lie to yourself about it? Seriously, how much longer? You watch me right now, Mr. Neocon. I know I got a couple of you. Shout out to the phenomenal audience. Of course, not talking about you guys, but I know we got some warmongers here. Do you feel like it's a good deal? Do you feel like we're winning? Do you feel like you're in control? Do you feel like you're in control? I don't feel like I'm in control, but at least I'm honest about that. So let's go ahead and show clip number three, Nick Fuentes, on what's coming in 2028 for the Republican Party.
Now, here's the genius of the Groypers. Here's what I'm going to tell you. 2026 is going to be a blowout and Republicans are going to get crushed. Trump is already a lame duck. He's a failed president. Vance, his task is to at once get Trump's endorsement and kiss Trump's ass, but also he's going to have to distance himself from Trump as an albatross. Trump is this huge liability. It's impossible for Vance. He's going to get ripped in half. You know, I said earlier, his task is to get Trump's endorsement, but also show everybody he's breaking with Trump. Tucker's trying to figure out a way. It's impossible. Trying to please everybody pleases nobody. This is where the Groypers come in. Because if Vance is twisting himself into knots, twisting himself, trying to appeal to all sides, he's going to get outflanked on the right and the left. And this is where a true outsider can come in and say, I don't need, I'm not going to say it like that. They're going to be more, whoever it is going to be more tactful than that. But they're not going to have that same problem. An outsider doesn't need to answer for the second Trump administration because they're not liable for it. An outsider doesn't need to soft pedal the criticism of Trump because they're probably not going to get Trump's endorsement anyway. An outsider can be very critical of Trump because they never had that relationship. And so they can be the right-wing candidate. They can be the true actualization of Trump's nationalist vision. That's the whole idea. That's the real winning platform here. So the problem with Tucker is that it just doesn't go far enough. You're not talking about Christians. You're not talking about values. You're not talking about white people. You're not talking about immigration. You're not talking about industry. You're not talking about the military. And here's the thing. I'm also just not ideologically in agreement with what this party stands for.
Yeah, I think he makes a lot of great points there. I think he's totally right about JD and Chud Vance. He's going to have to twist himself up into knots, and it's really not going to work. You're going to see, I predict it, I've been calling it Jeb Bush 2.0. You're going to see him on that stage just go doot, 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 and then one day he won't be there anymore. I really do see Marco Rubio as ascendant. And I know there's talk about Ron DeSantis, and there's talk about a bunch of other people as well, and like the establishment side, but I really do think Marco Rubio is going to be their play. And I really don't think it matters that much unless they lose big in 2026. Because if they don't lose big in 2026, if they hold on to some power, if they're able to, if they're able to maintain this kind of like neocon war hawk position for the next, year and a half or whatever, when it comes around to 2027 and 2028, people are going to be so tired of that, that whoever wins in the Republican primary, it'll just kind of be like McCain versus Obama, and it just ain't gonna work. I want to go ahead and show AOC kind of soft launching her announcement running for president. Let's play that clip.
Almost out of time, but get to your future. I'm sure you saw the poll in New Hampshire that had you as the leading candidate, leading choice for Democrats. First of all, are you going to run for president?
I mean, I'm focused on winning the midterms. I'm running for Congress right now.
But I mean, do you see this as something... I know you said you're open to it. Is it a realistic possibility for you?
I haven't ruled out the possibility, and I'm very humbled to the tremendous amount of support out there. I think that we have a responsibility to remain focused on the midterms and not on our individual aspirations or plans.
And running for Senate against Chuck Schumer, is that also something that's possible?
Aspirations and plans.
I mean, I think that anything is possible at this juncture.
Yeah, she running, and she better because she's starting to turn into a torta. But she is running for president. That is my prediction. Anyone who doesn't see it is insane. I predict Mark Kelly. I forget which one is his first name. I predict AOC. I predict Gavin Newsom. You know, you're going to see a very wide field on the Democrats, but they have populist people that their side is fervent about. You know, Gavin Newsom is more of a white wine mom choice, right? You know, someone that sits at home and drinks Franzia and is kind of like, someone that's wants to see a guy from central casting kind of like Trump. But you're going to have that radical younger wing of the Democratic Party, the DSA, of Democratic Socialist people, the Antifa types. This is who they're looking for. It's going to be somebody like this. It's going to be somebody like her that can command the attitude of being a true radical. And like what the country's been looking for really the entire time I've been alive is it's been looking for change. I mean, that's how Obama sold himself, hope and change, right? Of course, that's an empty slogan. It means nothing. Make America Great Again meant something. But if you don't apply that platform, it also means nothing. Her platform is going to be, I'm different than Trump, and you can trust in that. Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, they'll try to sell it in a different way. They'll say, oh, I'm more hawkish than Trump, more of a dove than Trump. But it is that association that Nick Fuentes was talking about that is going to be undeniable. They're not going to be able to shake that. They're really not. Now, I don't know who Nick is estimating to be this dark horse candidate as. I don't know who his choice would be or who he's expecting to run. He kind of laughs off the idea of Marjorie Taylor Greene. He laughs off the idea of a Thomas Massie, laughs off the idea of a Joe Kent. Here's my thinking on all these people. All these people have been burned and hurt by the administration, and it's going to take somebody that, like, we gave Trump, and Fuentes talked about it, but I had the same exact thought organically because great minds think alike. You're going to have Trump, who took this populist energy from the country and bottled it and smothered it and used it for himself. You're going to have to get somebody that was burned by that fire in order for them to stay true to that promise of I'm different than Trump and you can trust in that. And if we have somebody that's different than Trump, and we can trust in that, and we can trust that they actually want to make America great again, that they actually care about white people, immigration, stopping the wars, all the things that Nick Fuentes just said. I think if we can find that person, they can win. and they can beat the Democrat. But you're never going to beat the Democrats with one of these establishment Chuck E. Cheese candidates. You're really not. It sucks. I don't have it in my rundown, but there's that race happening. I think it's in Michigan with the Muslim guy versus kind of like the regular right-wing chungus. And the regular right-wing chungus guy puts out a video with his wife, and they're like, if you care about families, you'll vote for us because we care about families too. We care about school. That's not what the country's looking for right now. Okay. That's not what the country's looking for right now. That's not what we care about. That's not the idea. The idea is stopping the war, stopping the bankruptcy, stopping the murder, stopping the spending. That is number one. And if you can't call out those things as not just fiscally wrong or objectively wrong, but as morally wrong, then you're going to lose. Because what happens when you're up there? Forget the primary. We'll get into this a little bit. What happens when you're up there on the national level and you're the GOP nominee and you're up there against a Democrat and they ask you, will you denounce the Palestinian genocide? What are you going to sit there and cuck for Netanyahu? You're going to sit there and cuck for Israel? Seriously? That's going to be like Joe Biden melting down in the debate. That's coming, by the way. If we don't have somebody up there, this is why I support Joe Kent, who literally can say, my wife was killed in a war manufactured by Israel. That means she was murdered, by the way. That means Donald Trump betrayed his promise to Joe Kent on being the peace president. Took us to war. Joe Kent says there is no nuclear weapon threat. There is no threat from Iran. This is provable. 19 intelligence agencies say it. 2 independent CIA assessments. Tulsi Gabbard sold a shirt for $40 saying no war with Iran. And you can say, no, I don't support genocide. I resigned over it. That's what we need. And I'm sure me and Nick disagree on that. I'm sure he hates that idea and hates me saying it. That's what I believe, right? And I think more of the American people will come to realize and come to expect that everyone that's currently involved in this administration, everyone that hitched themselves to that boat or jumped on that bandwagon, it already went off a cliff. It's like Wile E. Coyote. See if we can find this. Wile E. Coyote chases the Roadrunner. And the Roadrunner flies or like makes it off the cliff or whatever. And Wile E. Coyote just goes. That's where the GOP is. They're in the air. They're holding up the sign. You know what I'm talking about from Looney Tunes. They're holding up the sign. They're turning to the camera, kind of doing a gym from the office. And they're going to hit the ground. And that's undeniable because they made these mistakes. They made this bed by betraying their voters and betraying the platform they ran on. The Democrats think that they're right. The Republicans know that they're wrong, and that will be transparent on the national level if that is exposed and called out in the way that I think it will be called out by the left. And if we don't have somebody on our side that's been burned by that same fire of Trump, that could say, no, actually, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a liar. I'm not a traitor to this country. I have loyalty. I have values. I have loyalty to America. I have values of the American people. We don't do stuff like this. I was in the military. We don't do stuff like this. Not me, of course, civilian. Speaking for somebody, like, we need to have a military professional. We need to have an Eisenhower. It's about time. Look at that. That's the GOP. Play it again. And that's 2028 if we don't have a real one running. It's super, super important that people need to know we have like a year and a half left until this all happens. And everyone's like, oh, it'll last forever. You know, it'll be a long time. We're going to be in 2028 basically tomorrow. Time is a flat circle. We're already there. But I'll see you after this break with Matt Murphy, Green Beret, intelligence expert. We're going to cover this latest news. We're going to get into all of it and so much more. Combat robots, Nile virus, Zika virus, you name it. Coming right up. Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter. Follow me there. Rex Jones News with the Z. Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented 2 proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. people just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric, we've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
We got another amazing show for you today. We got top guests, top information, and breaking news. Trump has privately admitted defeat and told senior aides he is willing to end the Iran war without a nuclear deal if Iran fully reopens the Strait of Hormuz, a retreat, that's a nice word for it, a cucking from his initial unconditional surrender demand, per the Wall Street Journal. Trump has been laying the groundwork to declare victory based solely on Hormuz reopening, walking away from his initial promises to decimate Iran's nuclear program. However, Iran has raised its price for reopening the strait in the form of new demands, effectively turning what Trump hoped would be his exit into a full U.S. surrender document, ladies and gentlemen. These demands include $300 billion in compensation, the release of up to $100 billion in frozen assets, the lifting of all sanctions, U.S. troop withdrawal from the entire region and into the naval blockade, and accepting transit fees on every single ship. U.S. officials say Trump is desperately searching for an exit, with the only viable option being the Strait of Hormuz. However, Iran has made even that impossible unless Trump surrenders to all of the demands. Joining me to talk about all of this and more is Matt Murphy. Matt Murphy is an intelligence expert. Matt Murphy is a Green Beret. Matt Murphy is a man who has a lot of experience in this region and with our military specifically. Matt, what's your reaction to this news?
Well, I mean, I can't say anyone's shocked to hear this. Trump, there was no exit strategy in the first place, and there was no clear path to victory. So when Trump bombed Iran, it was against the advice of the Pentagon, all intelligence agencies, his senior counsel. I think we've had somewhere upwards of 15 generals quit, since all this chaos started. Chiefs of staff have left. Others have been fired or, forced to resign. There was no reason America should have ever bombed Iran. And Trump admitted it. Everyone knows it at this point that we did this for Israel. And I think the craziest part about this to me now is that we are Congress, in the House at least, pushed forward the bill to combine our intelligence and military operations with Israel. And, that's still up for debate in the Senate. But the wildest part to me is our leaders, our elected leaders, are looking at Israel like they are someone that we should combine forces with, right? Meanwhile, after Trump has, pretty much admitted defeat, surrendered, and is likely going to have to accept all of Iran's terms, Israel has notified CENTCOM that they will continue to attack Iran and are planning another attack.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't make this up.
No, it's absurd. I'll go ahead and read this because you brought it up, and I'll give some commentary. I want to get your take. Breaking: Israel is preparing for a unilateral strike on Iran as it concludes the U.S. is no longer willing to finish the war on its terms. Are we in charge? Mm-hmm. No, we're not in charge. On its terms, a move that will make Israel Iran's primary target in this phase of the conflict. The U.S. is seeking an exit. U.S. General Dan Kane is looking for an off-ramp and believes air power alone won't defeat Iran. Well, I mean, all of us could have told you that at the beginning, and we did. They didn't listen. The thing about this to me, Matt, is it's like you got a buddy, and your buddy burned down your house, your buddy stole your car, your buddy committed credit card fraud with your wallet, your buddy like screwed your girlfriend, and then you're like, well, it's time to have him move into the house. Right?
Right. It just can't get worse, man. This Israel situation, and this is going to be a very pivotal, time for Trump, because again, a lot of us have assumed, right? Now, we haven't had the full Epstein files released. Trump's mentioned in them in totality, I think somewhere around a million times, accused of all kinds of things, from rape of 13-year-olds to murder and everything else. And, so when Trump started just kind of bending over and taking it, it's probably the best way I can say it, from Israel and just doing whatever they wanted, all of us rightfully assumed that Trump, it was blackmailed in the Epstein files, just like the rest of them. And so he's just continued to do Israel's bidding. So now that he is, quote unquote, standing up for himself and standing up for the country, or that's the way it's perceived at this point, what's Israel going to do next? I mean, when are the next batch of, Epstein releases going to come out, or are they setting us up for, this conspiracy? I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on real quick, that Trump was trying to do everything he could to seek peace and to, bring an end to this war and, realize it was a mistake, unconditional surrender, agree to all their terms. And then next thing you know, we have some large false flag attack.
Right.
And there's also reports going out. Somebody leaked that the U.S. was considering bombing its own country. I don't know if you've seen that one, and I haven't been able to confirm that, but there's some leaked intel reports now that one option was bombing America and then blaming it on Iran.
Every time we hear the Israelis talk about this stuff, I just watched an interview on Mario Newfall, where it was Cenk Uygur, and I forget the other guy's name. He's like, hey, only way you get America into a long war is if you have a Pearl Harbor type event or a 9/11. And it's like they say it with a smile, and it's very disturbing. What do you think about the possibility?
I mean, well, obviously history repeats itself, and we have a track record of being involved in our own attacks. Now, we all know Pearl Harbor. We had intelligence. We knew that it was coming. You know, I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole about how involved it may have been, but we do know for a fact that we ignored intelligence and we didn't do what we needed to do to prevent Pearl Harbor. 9/11, you know, same thing. We ignored intelligence, but just coincidentally, a lot of the hijackers were CIA, CIA assets, you know, recruited sources, and a lot of them were Mossad, right? Like, at some point, man, the light bulb's got to go off. And again, I think that's why I appreciate, you know, coming on this show and being able to talk about this stuff, because we're able to talk about the truth. We're able to point out, you know, conspiracy that has legs and has evidence. And, you know, unfortunately, 10, 15, 20 years later, the truth starts to come out, you know, at almost every event. And so it's like, what do? Right. Do you go back and do we start holding people in the Bush administration accountable for not taking the proper actions to prevent 9/11, you know, or do we say, okay, never again, right? And literally never again. Not that 9/11 was going to happen from, you know, some random quote unquote terrorists, but that how do we stop our own government from doing these false flag attacks? And I don't think we can, man. The majority of our economy now, because of this dynamic, is on the crux of this war, essentially, because Trump made a move. And now, I'll do a little tangent on this, but, you know, 2008, so the price of a barrel of oil was about $134 at its worst, right? And then gas was at a $380 to $370 national average, right? Oil is back down to about $70 a barrel, and we're sitting about a $420 national average. You know, something is going on, man. Where it's the destabilization of our economy. It is, you know, pumping and dumping. I think they're preparing for the dollar to collapse. I think they're preparing for some false flag attack. And I really believe that they're preparing for us to enter into World War III.
Yeah. Like, if I was robbing a bank and I was trying to get into the vault and I pistol whip like the clerk in the head or whatever, I wouldn't care if he's like on the ground crying. I'm robbing the bank. I'm trying to get out of there and get out through the door. That's what I kind of see all this behavior as. And when they say like, they're laughing at us, like Scott Bessent, especially, he's laughing at us a whole lot, talking about manipulation of various currencies, various economies, you name it. But the attitude they have of the insane confidence is not a confidence they can do it forever. It's a confidence they can get away with it and get out. What do you think about that?
Well, how can we hold them accountable? You know, I think the Epstein files coming out and showing all of these allegations that the government has just basically put on the back burner for the past 30 years, right? You have all these allegations of rape and murder and torture and cannibalism and, you know, blood libels and the drinking of children's blood and the trafficking and all of these people being involved, all these people being implicated, and nothing's been done. You know, and then even since Epstein files, because that's been around for a while, but, you know, Trump promised he was going to do something about it. Now here we are. But you have all of these other people in government that have been accused of things that are treason, right? You know, from Obama and the whole Russiagate thing, Fauci, right, who murdered millions of people, right. You know, with the ventilators, you know, for treating COVID, stopping, you know, ivermectin from being approved as a, you know, even though
he funded EcoHealth Alliance. He gave the Wuhan Institute of Virology money. Sue me, Fauci, if it's not true. Sue me if it's not true. He literally, in my view, and according to the evidence and a lot of people's views, created the virus. So like, but here's the thing. He can't be questioned. You know, it's this is actually a very interesting point. You remember when Trump's talking about the auto pin, Biden, all the pardons are irrelevant, all that, all that's it's all fake. He had dementia, whatever. Notice how that stopped. Notice how that's like this now, because they know they need to do the same thing.
No one gets held accountable, man.
Right.
And I think, you know, because there's people, you know, obviously my big Instagram account got deleted, but you know, there were a lot of the I like to call them the magtards on there who, you know, would comment on my stuff and tell me I'm a doomer and I've got TDS and all this stuff. But it's like, how much hope can you possibly have? You know, this 45, 47 military operation, military tribunals, all these people being held accountable. Well, it's at what point is America going to wake up and be like, all right, The economy's worse. Fuel's out of control. No more wars turned into multiple conflicts. We're talking about Cuba. We're losing ground all over the world. We've lost God knows how many soldiers. They're even hiding that from us.
Yes.
And no one has been arrested. No one has been held accountable for treason, for subverting our democratic republic, the integrity of our elections. At what point, right? I'm at the point right now, man, where part of me just wants to pack up what I can get fit in a couple suitcases and just move to another country, man.
It's going to be Brazil. It's going to be really, really, really bad, and people aren't ready for it. Now, I think what you're going to see, the question is, like, what happens? Like, when do people get angry about it? Both the Democrats and the Republicans are heavily complicit in this war on the establishment level. However, the radical wing, like the Democratic Party, DSA types like AOC or whatever, that is far more developed and politically ready as a machine than whatever we have with Tucker and the Chuckle Buddies on the other side. I like the Chuckle Buddies and I want them to do well. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it unless a clear leader emerges. I see the Democrats coming with this message of vengeance and saying, look, we told you this guy was bad. Now you have the proof in the pudding. We told you we would fix all these things. He told you he'd fix all these things. He failed. Just go with us versus somebody that's on the Republican side or right wing side, whatever you want to say. They have to have been burned by the same fire of Trump. Like, they have to have been screwed. They have to have been lied to. And that's why, you know, I'm looking around the field. Who do you think is interesting? Or do you think it's just all cooked?
I think it's all cooked. I'm going to be 100% honest. I think it's all cooked. And I think Massey's election for me was the icing on the cake, right? When they put about $30 million into AIPAC blatantly, overtly, right? I mean, they always do it overtly, but it was on everyone's radar what was happening to Massey, and he couldn't win his own election. Because I can't tell you how many people have hit me up over the past, you know, couple years trying to get me to run for Congress or Senate or, you know, move to another state and run for office. I mean, Nevada was brought up to me 2 days ago. And it's just like, I tell everyone no, because it's, you cannot defeat this the way the system is. It is completely hijacked. It's completely controlled. It is leveraged by Israel in every way, shape, form, or fashion. They control our politicians. They control our bureaucracy. They obviously control our military actions. So what is just one person with the best of intentions going to do in a system that is completely hijacked, compromised, and broken? And so, you know, I'm pretty much at, like, you know, we need a 1776 again, man. The system is broken. Our Constitution tells us what to do when this happens. And quite frankly, I think we should have done it a very long time ago. We're not voting our way out of this. There's no legislation that's going to get passed because they've monopolized our government. They've monopolized Congress. They've monopolized the Senate. And I don't know how you fight that.
I'm just thinking about getting ready for the coming collapse. I'm thinking about firearms training. Mm-hmm. Thinking about living in a rural area, living on a compound. Like, that's the direction you got to go, because all the people in the cities, all the Chuckle Buddies who thought everything was going to be fine, they voted for the establishment candidate. They voted for the Zionist candidate. They voted for the Israeli candidate over and over and over again. When the hoodlums come and they rape your wife and kill you and steal all your food, you know, Trump's not going to be there for you then. You know, the Donald and the MAGA hat, he's not going to be there for you then. But what would have been there for you if you had recognized the situation, acknowledged it, you could have moved away. You could have prepared, could have been strong, could have put yourself in a position to survive. You are a survival expert, of course, operator, Special Forces, mm-hmm. Green Beret. What would you tell people about getting ready for what's coming?
Well, 100%. And so we're actually building a community that we're going to take public here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. For people to start learning these things. But it's very simple, man. You know, a lot of people look at shows like Naked and Afraid and, you know, other things like that about, like, survival in the woods. Now, those are good skills to have. But if you're a suburban family, you know, a husband or wife with children, you know, those Naked and Afraid survival tactics aren't necessarily going to work out too well for you. You know, there's a whole different type of survival that people need to prepare for based on the system that's been created. And just to tangent a little bit, this system was created, the dependency on fossil fuels, electricity, you know, how they've monopolized everything that your banking, your communication, work, interactions, pretty much your entire life is on this cell phone. And that's intentional. They did this on purpose because they've created a system to where they make it almost impossible for you to survive outside of it, right? The phone gets shut down, the power goes off, you stop playing their game, now you're in trouble, right? So one of the things I tell people, freeze-dried food. You know, it's even if worst-case scenario doesn't happen, that the economy collapses, World War III kicks off, or there's some catastrophic attack here in the U.S., it's a great thing to have for hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, any type of event that can happen, freeze-dried food. You know, enough to feed your family for 3 to 6 months. Some people go a couple years. But, you know, if things get so bad that you need food for a year, you're probably not staying in the place where you're storing all that food. But I digress. So ways to purify water, Ben. You know, there's life straws. There's all kinds of cool little gadgets and gizmos that they've made with, you know, UV rays. And, you know, you have your old school, you know, methods with bleach and, you know, everything else. So there's ways to purify water, boiling it. Just learn, get the things, learn how to purify water, learn to have things to collect water just in case. Because one of the things a lot of people don't think about is that if the power goes out and those, you know, stations that process the water and clean it, you know, they'll reverse pump. And, you know, you have about 3 days before now the water's poisoned and not safe to drink. You know, medicines. I know a lot of people are dependent on certain things like diabetics that, you know, need their insulin. And there's a myriad of medical conditions out there, but, you know, you need to have enough medicine, whatever your family needs to survive, or it's crucial for you to function as a normal human being, have stashes of that medicine, you know, out about 6 months, just in case. Obviously, ways to protect yourself. You know, there's a whole, I guess, Walking Dead dynamic about survival. And that, you know, so if the power goes out for 2-3 days. Well, okay, you might be good in your home, right? You hunker down, turn on the generator, throw some ice in the cooler, take stuff out of your fridge and put it in there. But what happens if the power goes out for a week? You know, now you're going to start getting into looting. Right. Now Kroger and all the grocery stores have run out of food. So, you know, you need to be able to protect your family. You need to be able to stand your ground if someone comes to try to, like you said earlier, you know, rape your wife or kids or steal stuff from you, you know, take the food that you have. Because if you think about it, if you were prepared, right, and you were ready for what's coming and you have the generators and the fuel and the food, the medicine and all these things, well, guess what? You're a target.
Yep.
You know, if things, you know, it goes south and the power stays out for about a week. So, you know, you need to be able to protect yourself, because the most dangerous person in the world is a man or a woman whose kids are hungry.
Yep.
That's the most dangerous person in the world. Morals and values and, you know, all that go out the door and the law of nature kicks in. Right. You know, so outside of that, man, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I know not everyone has access to this, but you do need to have a plan to move, right? You need to have a plan to, hey, if things get real bad and you're in, you know, if you're living in downtown or midtown or, you know, in a heavily populated suburb, you might have to have a plan to move to get out of there as things start to deteriorate, because now everyone becomes dangerous about 2 weeks in, right? Then you have no idea what that could look like. So another thing that's important is communication. You know, back in the day, you know, there was landlines and the phones almost always worked unless someone cut the cord. So let's say the power goes out, the cell phone towers go down. A lot of families don't think about, okay, hey, you know, my daughter's at soccer practice, my son's at his friend's house, my wife was out shopping, you know, I'm at work. How does the family get back together? Having a rendezvous point, a communication plan, something that you train your family on so that if things go south, if something goes wrong, everybody knows where to go. Everybody knows what to do. And, you know, we can get into the weeds about, you know, that type of stuff. But there are so many things that families need to consider and to think about and be prepared on. And again, like, let's say worst case, it doesn't happen. Well, at least your kids have, you know, resilience training. You and your wife and your kids have resilience training. You know how to shoot a gun. You know how to protect yourself. You're confident. You have food. And then maybe you can turn it into some fun camping trips down the road.
Right.
But I just don't see any way that this doesn't go bad.
Yeah,
in the next couple of years.
People are too nice and they're too sensitive. And it's really like a Wall-E planet, a jellyfish world, where it's like you're saying a week or two in, if the power goes out and stays out, you're going to find out your neighbors aren't so nice. You're going to find out they're not so friendly. And they're going to come for what you have. And especially you're like, hey, guys, I got all this nice stuff here for you. You need to prioritize yourself, your family, your community first. Other people that are with you that understand, hey, we're in this to survive. We're in this to have a community, have really a mini society of our own within this collapse. I think that's very key. We got like 3 minutes left. Your final thoughts on that?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we did during COVID. You know, I built out a couple communities where I live, Nashville, Tennessee, and surrounding areas, of like-minded people. Because here's the other thing. What we do when we create these communities, or we at least teach how to create them, the most dangerous thing about a community is the people that are in it, right? So, you know, a bad seed, somebody who can't keep their composure, somebody who has crippling anxiety, or just someone who's angry and, you know, doesn't use, you know, logic or reason, they just use emotions when they get upset. Those people can destroy and fracture anything that you build, right? So, you know, people's personalities, their vulnerabilities, and really just what they're, you know, how they're built and how they handle stress and how they handle hunger and how they handle being tired and fear, you know, it's very hard to vet that, but you got to do the best that you can, because, you know, it's just like, you know, one bad apple spoils a bunch kind of thing, right?
100%.
The other part is when you create a community, obviously there's a lot of skill sets that people, you know, need and people rely on. So, you know, we made sure that every community had a couple doctors, a surgeon, a nurse, you know, had an engineer, had a mechanic, had a, you know, contractor or handyman, had just people that knew how to do things, right? You know, because if you have a community of just a bunch of your, you know, I don't know, like wealthy buddies, or, you know, the guys from your, you know, golf course or your country club, well, you might be in a little bit of trouble, because guess what? They might be pretty good with the, you know, with the pitching wedge, but why, you know, how useful are they?
They can't fix the four wheeler. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. And that's the entire nature of all of it. It's being prepared, staying prepared, and it's cool to be informed. That's the real badass thing. It's like knowing how to do stuff. I see all these people running around Austin in their ridiculous supercars, and that's very cool, all that stuff. What's cool to me is somebody knows how to fix a carburetor. What's cool to me is somebody knows how to shoot really well, somebody that knows like some sort of medical skill. And we all just kind of we have to fall in love with the idea of really reclaiming what's been taken from us, which is that agency, like talking about with the cell phone. They take our agency with the map, with the compass, with all that stuff. They give you the cell phone. They take your agency of saying, okay, I have to be prepared. I have to live on a farm. I have to have, you know, 500 gallons of diesel. Nope, I'm in an apartment and I get Amazon delivery every month. It's all fine. We have to rediscover who we are as human beings and actualize that. Thank you so much. Matt Murphy joins me in the next segment. We'll see you. We'll be right back. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Buy the methylene blue. Buy the bovine colostrum. Get it all right now. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
We gonna do what they say can't be done.
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and what a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind your brakes.
Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit.